It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Adam ran into some traffic problems while he was fulfilling his extra role on weekends as soccer dad, and is therefore on the phone, not very far away, but unable to go all the way. So we will just take it as it comes. All our regulars, welcome back. We keep doing this. In fact, I'm going to be talking about that in a very few minutes. We do it because we know you're out there, and we always have a good time, too. If you're new to the show, whether you found it by accident or somebody told you about it, whatever, try to listen for the full hour. It's inevitable that you will learn something if all the topics that I have to talk about today come true. But I will do exactly that. Adam will do exactly that. We'll talk about what we want to, unless you pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, and we will immediately change the subject to whatever is on your mind on this All-American weekend, where the little event that we call the Super Bowl is about to take place. And, of course, if you want to spend some really money, really big money, all you got to do is figure out a way to go to the Super Bowl, and they will be happy to fleece you for every nickel you've got. I can't believe the prices I'm hearing for some of that stuff. Or you could be like a normal person and just put it on a TV and watch it for free. So there you go. It just saved you all a bunch of money right there. What a good start to a good show, right? Lots of things to talk about other than the Super Bowl, but I'm going to weave that into the discussion a little bit too. And, of course, we'll have our trivia question right after the break and a market wrap. And the market wrap's going to have some very interesting components in it this week, because it seems like as Fridays come around, records get broken. And with that, on that happy note, Adam, why don't you tell us the big news of this particular week?
Yeah, there was a lot of news, and it was a good week for a lot of different reasons, but it didn't start out that way, did it?
Nope.
It started out with the market taking a dive pretty much on Monday because, yet again, Powell spoke.
Can't put a sock in that guy, can you?
Yeah, I mean, it is his job, so I understand why, but the net effect of that was no rate cuts in March, and I still can't figure out why people, the market, investors are surprised by this. If you've listened to the show, you know that there's really no justification for rate cuts in March, and we've been saying that for months. I mean, what would he say if he cut rates in March? Despite strong job growth, rising wages and prices, and full employment, we decided to cut rates and risk more inflation. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Well, I don't know. I think it's kind of it's a mystery to me how at one point in the past month the market was actually pricing in something like an 80% chance of a rate cut in March. It makes no sense. Yeah. Anyways, after Monday dropped 274 points, that negative sentiment kind of turned around, and for no reason that I could really find, we saw a rally for the rest of the week. The Dow couldn't quite get over that big drop on Monday, though. It ended the week just 17 points higher than it started the week. But the
still
S&P,
up.
What's that?
It's 17 points is still up.
Yeah, it was higher, so there's that. But the S&P rallied, and it actually closed over 5,000 for the first time ever to end the week at a new all-time high. So that was pretty cool, although 5,000 really means nothing, but it's psychologically kind of a barrier that people have been watching to hit for a long time. And it was a 1.4% gain for the week. NASDAQ was actually up 2.3%, so it had an even better week. But that 5,000, of course, stole the headlines from the NASDAQ for sure.
Yep. I have to interrupt for a second for a PSA.
Sure.
I have been informed twice since the beginning of the show that over the internet, the show is cutting out. The quality is good, but it's cutting out frequently. So I'm asking Tom if there's anything he can do about it during the first break. I have no idea, but I want everybody to know if it's happening, that we understand and we're looking into it, and bear with us, and hopefully it'll get better. All right, carry on. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. The best news of the week was that small caps actually led the way higher. The Russell 2000 small cap index, it gained 2.4% and was the best performing index of the week. So that's good. We've been looking for
some
more breadth in the market.
Time. My God.
Yeah. It's really been it's down for the year, still down substantially. So it's been
some cutting out going on there too. I don't know if anybody can hear me, but I lost Adam, and Tom's working on something or other. I will keep talking until I hear Adam come back in, because, hey, it's hard enough to make me be quiet anyway. Anyway, as Adam was saying, the small caps did much better than they have. They've tried over the last year or so to rally a little bit, and they finally did it for a week, but it still leaves them down for the year, and who knows, but it's got to happen soon. The other thing that I thought was significant was there's starting to see a little bit of movement in the not-so-gigantic part of the S&P. Almost all of the sectors of the S&P 500 index did well this week, and some of those that haven't been performing, shall we say, because the whole weight of the thing has been carried by the super big guys, and some of the other ones are starting to wake up. There's still some trouble with the number of stocks above the 50-day moving average, but as of right now, the number of stocks above their 200-day moving average has really started to perk up. What does this mean for the rest of the month, year, whatever? Well, based on what happened so far, it might seem that things are overvalued a bit, but statistically and historically, this is usually a stepping stone to a balance of the year that's very good. Now, I am not going to sit here and tell you you're going to make money like you did last year, but I am saying at this moment that I don't see a whole bunch of reason to panic. So if you're invested, well, if you're not invested, starting to come back is probably a really good idea. And if you're all in on the big guys, then you might want to start looking at some other things like the smalls and mids and maybe some more broad indexing. One thing I did want to bring up, the biggest problem I see personally in this market going forward is the consumer. Now, so far, they have had nothing but good things to do and say. They're spending money like there's no tomorrow. The problem is a lot of it is on borrowed funds. The credit card debts are growing. Adam says he's back, so chime in anytime. We've got 30 seconds before the break. Anyway, the credit card debt is starting to become in default at a pace higher than normal. Auto loans are defaulting at a pace that's higher than normal. They're nowhere near the danger zone, but if you look at the trend lines on defaults, the trend lines are going the wrong way. So we'll dig a little deeper into this as right after the break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And he is back and sounds good. So those of you out there on both sides of the town who are telling me that there has been some cutting out, let me know if it gets better, please, or worse yet, if it doesn't. All right, we have a trivia question sponsored, as usual, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Now, we've been talking about the various kinds of dumb lately, and I'm going to carry on a little bit with the whole line. You'll pick up on the rest of it as the show goes on. But there's dumb. We see that all the time. Then there's really dumb. And then there's government dumb. Adam, we're getting some noise on your phone, like wind noise or something.
There's nothing. Not possible.
That's not it? Okay.
No.
Something going on in the background?
No, I'm in a I'm in a parked car. So
okay. Well, that it went away now. I don't know. There's some little gnomes or dwarfs doing the thing around the radio today. Anyway, we're going. The trivia question is going to be on government dumb, and then I'm going to step it up one after the bottom of the hour break. So the trivia question has to do with the government efforts to make everyone into an employee instead of a gig worker or freelancer or 1099 or whatever you want to say. And you know it's a problem because they keep telling us they're not doing it. And I have some information on that that I'll share when somebody gets the answer correct or when the show's about to end. But here's the question. How many Americans are estimated to have performed at least some freelance work, 1099 work, in the year 2023? I want the answer in millions or percent. I don't care which one. As long as you get one of them, we're good to go. All right, back to the market wrap. I was saying the consumer seems to be unaffected, but the consumer stats bother me. What else happened this week that's important, Adam?
Well, there was some trends that stayed in place from earlier this year, and then there were some that switched. One of them was the Russell, the small cap index, leading the way higher, but that wasn't some other trends didn't continued on from earlier this year, and not necessarily good or bad, just a fact. Like the S&P growth index was up 2.6% this week, while the value index was flat for the week. I think there's a lot of investors out there really hoping that value comes back in favor right now, and it just hasn't happened.
There's one in this room.
Yeah, I know. That is true. So it was also within the S&P 500, technology led the way higher. That has been the trend this year. And then utilities lost 2%. Well, technology was up 2.8. So utilities were down. Utilities have been a little bit more volatile than they normally are. I think a lot of that has to do with interest rates, which rose this week. It also drove the bond market down. So you're seeing some more movement in utilities than you normally would. And that's all based on the fact that they're somewhat like owning a bond. They pay you a nice dividend. They tend not to have a lot of price variation. And so those kind of things, seeing the technology lead the way again, that's more of a continuation of the trading we saw earlier this year and not really the switch that we're looking for to improve that breadth in the market where you're seeing more 52-week highs across a greater variety of stocks. We did see one other thing switch, though. China finally saw some positive trading on the news that their sovereign wealth fund would step up and buy stocks. And that's in an attempt to stop their now three-year-long bear market. They rallied 6% on the news, and the Hong Kong index saw a 2.3% boost. So that was a big change from the last week and month. The problem with the sovereign wealth fund buying stocks is that, yes, it improves stock prices, but does it fix any of the fundamental issues in the Chinese market? And the answer is no, it does not. So while you might see a short-term boost based on that added buying, you really haven't fixed any of the issues, and I still don't like China.
No,
I will stay away.
No.
We're
nowhere near ready.
No. Other international equities were generally positive this week. The all-world except U.S. index gained 0.9%. Emerging markets, which were boosted by China, were up 2.3%. Commodities had a strong week. This is actually pretty funny. Not the fact that oil was higher by 6.1%, but the fact that somehow natural gas managed to fall another 11.2%. During the week. I mean, is there a bottom on natural gas? Will they eventually pay us to take it?
It's doing it just to irritate me. I am absolutely convinced.
Incredible. I mean, that thing, it has just been in a free fall for a year. It's insane.
Adam, do you remember the oil flash crash? For a few minutes one day, they would pay you to take it.
Yeah, in the futures market. Yep. That was pretty funny.
It was.
this is not there yet, but could it get there? Maybe. I don't know.
It doesn't have anything to do with policy, does it? Because, oh, all of a sudden we're not allowed to export it, so demand tumbled.
Yeah, I mean, that could have something to do with it as well.
Thanks, so. Crazy Uncle Joe.
Let's see. We also, one thing I did want to note is that you've seen this remarkable run in the stock market since October, and you might think we're due for a significant pullback. Well, you might want to rethink that. Based on the trading pattern we've seen in the last 4 months or so, historically, when the market makes a run like this, the forward returns, looking at forward returns 1, 3, 6, and 12 months out, they've all been higher than average. So just because you've seen a good run in the market doesn't mean it's over. And these runs typically come at the beginning of bull markets, and that's where we are right now. So don't pull your money out and sit on the sidelines and wait for a crash, because you might wait a little while.
I think that's absolutely true. And you should mention the earnings season, because what's more important long run in the market than earnings? Very little.
Definitely. I didn't pull the data this week.
I did.
There
actually.
Was one. Okay. Let me talk about one more thing,
yeah,
and then you jump in with that.
Sure.
There wasn't a ton of economic data, but we did see the ISM reports come out, both service, mm-hmm, and manufacturing. They both jumped up by more than 2 points. And that type of big move in the indexes, simultaneously between services and manufacturing, those moves tend to come at the beginning of expansion cycles in the business cycle. So you typically see them at the very end of recessions or right at the beginning of a long cycle of expansion. You don't see them right before you go into a recession.
Manufacturing's been sucking wind for 15 months, I think.
Yeah, but these moves, that type of move, it has never happened right before a recession.
Right.
So that's interesting, because everyone thinks we're getting into a recession, but the data kind of says the opposite.
It does, which again adds to what we've been experiencing for the last year and a half or so, the just confusion of where's the recession? It's almost got to come. Look at all the things that say it should, and then you look at all the things that say it shouldn't. So we are once again actually clueless as to what's really, really going to go on. And who knows? But look at the earnings here. As of Thursday night, 823 reports had been let out. The earnings per share beat rate is 73%, which is a really, really good number. And the revenue beat rate was 63%, which isn't going to cause anybody to jump up and down, but it's certainly solid. It's above historical averages. So that, again, supports the notion that companies are doing well, and that supports market prices where they are or better. How do you make a decision if you ignore? This reminds me of the O.J. trial. So, well, if you throw out the DNA, you don't really have that much. If you throw out the inverted yield curve, everything else looks pretty positive. But that yield curve has a batting average of about 100% when it's been around so long inverted. So color me confused once again.
No doubt about it.
Yep. I also got another message from the outside that says there's some short cutouts happening. We'll try to keep things getting better and better if we can here. Anyway, got a minute? You want to wrap it up, Adam, before we get into the next segment and some different topics?
Yep, that was all for my market wrap. I did want to note that the national debt is now increasing by $1 trillion every 136 days, which means that your family's share of the debt is increasing by $10,000 every 136 days.
Can I take mine in cash?
I don't think that's how that works. You can give it in cash. They do accept cash.
Oh, I don't think that's how it works either. Not okay. With this guy. Isn't that amazing?
And it's pretty. Those numbers, you can't even make sense of those numbers. They're too big.
And the government's stupid. They understated last year's deficit by taking three or four $100 billion and flopping it over to a new year and called it a savings. It didn't happen. It goes on and on with this group. It is absolutely, what's the word, flabbergasting, I guess, how much and by how far we are being misled, lied to, et cetera. And I'm going to get into that right after the break, which is coming up in about 15 seconds. So the first thing I want to do is talk about a reader or a listener question, and we'll do that first after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have the trivia question still available out there. First off, the lines are open, 904-222-8255. Trivia question. I'm going to chat a little bit about the whole concept of being a freelance worker, 1099 worker, gig worker, whatever you want to call it. The government swears up and down that they're not trying to take it away from all of us. And, of course, they're lying again, and we have numbers to prove it. So the trivia question is, what percentage or what number of Americans have done some freelance work in the year 2023? And the reason we ask that is because we want to know how many people are affected by what they're doing. So in January, we got this big explanation from the Department of Labor, and it says, if you were an independent contractor, you probably still are. Okay, it goes through all the smiley face things and here and there, you know, opportunities for this. There's a six-factor test. One, opportunity for profit or loss depending on managerial skill. Two, investments by the worker and the potential employer. Three, the degree of permanence of the work relationship. Four, the nature and degree of control. Five, the extent to which work performed is an integral part of the potential employer's business. And then they threw in a sixth one, the worker's skill and initiative. Like that's some big deal. Oh, wait, it is kind of a big deal. So having spent 3.5 pages trying to convince us, don't worry about it. If you were one, you probably are one. Well, the calendar turned over to February. And now we get Biden's attack on X number of freelancers makes them less free. Now, they are getting assisted by such astounding professionals as the American Psychological Association, who proclaimed this simple piece of information that I guess we are all supposed to just know and accept. Merit-based hiring might be unfair. You get that now?
Yeah. Okay.
Merit-based hiring might be unfair. Therefore, they're going to tell us who and who isn't an employee, and they're going to wind up making a whole bunch of companies hire a whole bunch of people. Who's against it? Well, let's start with something real close to home. Most of the financial services industry, most of us out there are not employees of the big firms, especially people who do what they do, like us, independent financial planners. And without a gig work economy, we're not going anywhere. You can't do it as an employee. It just wouldn't work. How about this one? How'd you like to call an Uber at a busy time of day, and the Uber response would be, sorry, all of our employees are busy. They went home at 5 because those are our hours of work. Wouldn't that be nice? No, that would not be nice. These are the people fighting back against it. And when you hear how many people are involved in it, you're going to understand very clearly why. So chalk this one up to that category we call government stupid. Speaking of government stupid, we got a nice email from a listener this week. And it says he listens to the show every Saturday and some replays and likes what we talk about. And just wondered if we had a comment on the what appears to him to be a ridiculous rule that early Social Security recipients have limited income earning limits without reductions in their Social Security benefits. So we picked out a few points to respond with. And the same government here that wants everybody to fend for themselves later in life, because not everybody can be a ward of the state or run out of money even quicker than we are now. Well, so they do that partly by penalizing Social Security recipients who go out before their retired or their full retirement date. So you're already penalized. Then they pile on some injury to the, or some insult to the injury, and they say, not only that, but the benefits you get are going to be reduced when you make over any reasonable amount of money, like $22,000. They start reducing your benefits. Well, that money's not lost, but it certainly is pretty much forgotten, because what they do with it is they push it forward actuarially and spread it out over the rest of your life. Now, I had that happen one time. I got an actual adjustment for that. That adjustment was $6 a month up. Now, if we're talking about a couple $1,000s that you're being denied, then that $6 a month has a pretty long payback period, and that doesn't count the time value of money. It also doesn't count the taxes that you're paying up front, you know, just on and on. This is government stupid. You know, and I use dumb with a capital D, and I use really dumb with a capital R and a capital D. Then government dumb is in capital letters. This is government dumb. The worst part of it, in my opinion, is that they are disincentivizing work for older people. Who in their right mind wants to tell people 62 and up that they should either not work or work less? We have a caller on the line. I don't have a name, but I'm going to take it anyway. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Who is this, Mr. please?
This is Ron from South St. Mary's, Georgia.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for calling.
How are you today?
I'm absolutely wonderful. What's happening?
What a beautiful day.
Yep.
Hey, I just got three casual observances, mm-hmm. and they're not going to add much to your show, but it's something I had to get off my chest.
We'll decide that. Go ahead.
Okay. And I'm a little late with the first one. It seems to me that Alcoa always is, and they always miss. Is that just me?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, every time Alcoa, the first major company, and they miss their earnings.
Yeah, maybe they should change their name to Zenith.
I don't know. Yeah, Zenith, very good. My, you are old.
You better believe it. You don't get as cynical as I am until you're up there a ways. Yeah, I've seen that for years and years and years, too. And
yeah.
you just shake your head. You know, why do the people always think it's going to be so much better for the aluminum company than it ever really is? I have no idea.
You know, this has gone on for like years.
Yeah,
you know,
decades, actually.
Yeah, every time. Oh, Alcoa just reported, and they missed on the top line and the bottom line.
Well, they missed what? Their estimates are yours.
Yeah.
You know, why, if you know darn well they're not going to do as well as you say they should, why then do you believe that they'll do it next time when you have 30 years of history that says there's no way it's going to happen? Is that the definition of insanity come to play?
Yes.
I believe so.
And why am I not buying puts just before they announce earnings?
Yeah, actually, that is a brilliant investor response. So you did add to the show, just like that.
Oh, okay.
Loved
two.
It. Yeah.
Kathy Wood, the most eccentric person in America other than Elon Musk. I've seen her several times on CNBC. I have no idea what she's talking about. And I'm fairly well-versed in finances, but she's speaking a different language. I don't know what.
I would tell you that anybody who put together a top 10 in the eccentricity lane, she would probably be on most of those lists, yeah.
Okay, yes.
She's innovations. Yeah, she's either good or bad, and she doesn't just float along with the crowd. So she is bold, willing to take a stance and do whatever, and that's positive, I guess. Nobody has to invest in the ARC funds. I personally don't pay her any attention because I am not interested in the kind of volatility that she brings to the table, either for myself or for our clientele.
Good, good.
Yeah, it's like crypto to me. She's just another form of crypto.
Oh, very good. Like that a lot.
Yeah, and it's my view.
My last one is going to be a little weird.
Okay.
There's a term that's going about right now. I looked it up. I don't understand it, but I feel like I'm watching reruns of Taxi, and Latka is speaking.
Okay. I remember.
EBITDA.
Yeah.
And they throw that word around all the time. Oh, EBITDA is only 15, you know.
Yeah, it's a contraction for EBITDA.
Yeah.
Like you had to make that smaller. It's like abbreviating July. What are you in a hurry?
Yeah.
Seriously, people.
And that lunch hour program on CNBC, that's where they throw it around a lot.
And you know what it's worth?
Nothing.
Thank you. You nailed it. In one of the first, it was actually the first full radio show I ever did. This goes back to 2002, and I had not been involved in radio before except as a listener, and I got the opportunity to do the show with my old gig, and I asked the guy what he wanted to talk about, and he wanted to talk about EBITDA. So I did a study. I was very familiar with it from having my own businesses and so on for a long time. And I said, there's only one big problem with it. It's, what's that? It ignores your debt. Yeah, the fact that you have DA and I, the interest, depreciation, amortization, the fact that you have those cannot be dispensed with. You're going to have to pay it. Why do you care what the company's like without those things? It's irrelevant because they have those things. So that's my feelings on the whole thing. Useless.
Well, very good. I'm not going to bother trying to understand that or Kathy Wood.
Okay. You want to take a quick shot at the trivia, either a number or a percentage?
No, I have no clue on this one.
All right, thanks.
You guys are getting tough. Thank you.
We got to run. Thanks for calling. Great. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere at all. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
He is back. All right. That was actually kind of fun. I appreciate phone calls like that where we get to knock around some concepts that don't normally come up. So we appreciate it. Back to dumb. Like I said, there's dumb. There's really dumb. There's government dumb. And it occurred to me this week, and I'm sure it's because of all the hype around the Super Bowl. I've been thinking a lot about that. We watched all the playoff games this year, and I have to admit that they were very high-quality football games. And I will go so far as to say I believe the best two teams made it to the Super Bowl, as it should be. And I'll probably even watch the whole thing. I'm going to be especially interested in the commercials because Bud Light is trying to make a big comeback, and they brought out the big guns, the Clydesdales and the dog, and that is always fun. So we'll see. Anyway, I'm very pleased with the quality of the teams. But that brings me to the fourth category, what I call Hall of Fame dumb, which could be for this particular weekend just called Super Bowl dumb. So rather than try to analyze every stupid thing that goes on out there, which is a never-ending process, and nobody's got that kind of time, I decided to find the worst of the worst. And being Super Bowl weekend, Lord knows, I found it. What if we ended 401k tax breaks to save Social Security? Just let that one gel for a little bit. What do you think, Adam? Good idea?
I think that's a horrible idea, personally.
Well, you're in good company. The discussion earlier about the government trying to make us take better care of ourselves in retirement so they don't have to, how do they do that? Well, taxes can be used to influence behavior of people. They do it all the time. Sometimes they can negatively influence, sometimes positively. The deductibility of retirement account contributions is probably the strongest motivating force for most people ever. Suggesting that we might want to eliminate that. And by the way, don't think this is the first time around for this. I remember George W. Bush, he put out a proposal to make every contribution to a retirement plan a Roth-style, not tax-deductible contribution, at which time, of course, a lot of people just wouldn't make them because their tax bill would be so high. The good news on those was supposed to be that later on in your life, when you take the money out, they won't tax it. And if all of a sudden we had people putting all this money into their pockets when they were later on and they didn't pay taxes, what do you think would happen? All right, I'm going to interrupt because the rules of the show are very simple and we have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. And may I have a name, please?
Oh, it's Mike. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Great. What a startling report by Robert Herr on our president.
Okay, I'm going to bring up something now. I was going to save till the end, but you just broke the ice on it. You know how I like to recommend books sometimes? I also recommend movies once in a while. The movie for the week is a movie called Being There with Peter Sellers. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Anybody who wants to know why, just watch the movie. Carry on, please.
Yes, I'm curious about it.
Okay.
Quick shot at the trivia.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to go with $64 million.
Well, you're going to go with the right number. A man of many, means and interests and sources and all. You could put it another way if you wanted to. It would be
48%. No? Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, about 40%. That number is from a company called Upwork. I know the name. I'm not familiar with what they do. But, yes, you nailed it. $64 million or 40%.
And I appreciate it.
Good. What does it tell us? You know, my trivia always has to have a point. They're trying to take that away from 40% of Americans?
Yeah. Well, nothing makes sense anymore. Nothing.
That is right up there in the government stupid category. And these are a couple of researchers. They call themselves researchers. And one of them is from the, what do they call it? They say the right-leaning Economic Institute. I can't find it right off hand. But I looked it up. And if there's anything right-leaning about it, it's a mystery to me what it might be. And the other one is somebody from Boston. And, you look at one of my oldest sayings, consider the source. These are the kind of people that are very dangerous because they get listened to. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, we could talk for hours about stupid people and dangerous in this country, but we'll leave that for another day.
Yep,
I
agree.
Wish you guys the greatest weekend. For what it's worth, though, it is true that there's a technical glitch on the Internet, whether it's on either the FM station or the AM. It just keeps breaking up.
But yep. I've been notified by several people, and we're going to have to look into it before next week.
All right.
Trust me,
we're for a great show.
On it.
Have a great
Mike, I appreciate it. Weekend. Hope your team wins.
Thank you. Okay.
Take care.
All right.
Imagine that. 64 million Americans do at least some of their work as a gig economy worker, and they're trying to take it away. And it's just... It's beyond comprehension.
I wonder how much that number has grown in the last 10 years. It's got to be exponential.
Well, if you get a chance to think about that and research it a little bit, I've got to believe you're correct. And it's not because it's the only way you can get work. It's because it's a better way to do things for most people. And like I said, when you call an Uber at 6 o'clock in New York City and you want to go somewhere and they say, we don't have enough drivers because we don't have that many on the late shift. Duh. If you were an Uber driver and you got an extra
Uber. That's not how Uber works.
No.
They would just say, that'll be $1,000 to go
exactly
18 blocks. Yeah.
And they just return to profitability after a slump. And you know how all you got to do to ruin a company like that or get rid of its momentum is throw the government into it. And they will find a way to mess it up completely. Anyway, back to the tax breaks for ending tax breaks for Social Security. You know what they want to do with these? You'll really, really love this. If they take away the 401k tax breaks, they want to use it to save Social Security. Who pays into Social Security? Everybody with a job, right? From the lowest to the highest pay levels. When you work, you either owe it through your own taxation, where you put it on you put it on your business form and your tax form yourself and do quarterly estimates, or for anybody who's an employee, it's automatically withheld. That said, who pays income taxes? Well, we all know, and we've known for a long, long time, who pays income taxes. The top half of Americans, income-wise, pay all the income taxes. So if we were to put all of the savings that people have from deducting their retirement income contributions, put it all into the big fund, the general revenue fund, that would mean that as they dole it out, half of Americans would be paying for the entire Social Security system. Now, does that sound like a good idea to anybody? I've spent the last 2 weeks complaining about schemes to, quote, tax the rich. This is nothing more than the third in a row scheme to tax the rich. The rich don't have enough money to pay for everybody who doesn't have enough money in the end. It won't work because it can't work. I feel like we come in here and we talk and talk and talk, and there's no way to get through to the people who can do anything about it. So my goal here, since I can't reach the government and tell them how stupid they're being, my goal here is to reach enough people so that they understand that when they're being lied to and how and by how much. This thing, it'll be a non-starter, of course, but putting it out there and making these proposals and then lying about it. And by the way, the big one on this, they say, these two supposed researchers say, that the revenue lost from payroll deduction, the FICA, in other words, because people are paying into these things, would accrue to the system. People,